Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us as always. And as always on a Sunday morning, we will do a little recap of some of the Saturday action and do a little handicapping. And then towards the end of the program, our regular visit with Tony Kahlo to do a little preview of Monday action at the Finger Lakes. And Finger Lakes tomorrow, nice little stakes race. Looms Boldly is in there, Acoustic Avenue. It's the Ontario County. So we'll talk a little Monday action with Tony coming up, as I say, a little bit later on. But as always, recap some of the action. There was some nice action yesterday. We talked about it on Racing Across America with Ellis Starr, the Ohio Derby, the return of two Phils who ran so well in the Kentucky Derby. A lot of folks thought he might have run the best race, having been right up there early and holding on for second. And, you know, the majority of the other runners that were up there early all faded to the back half of the pack. So a lot of people were excited to see the return of two Phils. Yesterday's Ohio Derby, Grade 3 event, $500,000 up for grabs. And two Phils is getting a little bit of a challenge from Bishop's Bay, but shakes that off nicely. Two Phils under Geraldo Corrales, who is substituting for a regular rider, Jared Loveberry, who got hurt a couple of days ago. But a able substitution, as you can see, he's just kind of eased up there at the wire. Bishop's Bay under Florent Giroux, the Brad Cox trainee, an easy second. I mean, the chart margin was 5 3/4 from first to second and 7 lengths from second to third. Hayes Strike did run third. That was the Ken McPeak runner coming off the win in the Texas Derby. But Bishop Bay gets it done. And gets it done, as I say, pretty easily with the jack just kind of sitting chilly there and then knowing he had it in the bag as they come under the wire. A 105 buyer, solid number, ties the big number he tossed in the Kentucky Derby. And coming out of this, Larry Ravelli said, you know, after the Derby, we gave the horse a little downtime, and then it was up to his base at Hawthorne, and the horse had been working very, very well. And he said, you know, we wanted a spot to kind of prep for the rest of the summer. And I think they got what they wanted coming out of the race. It sounds like Haskell and Travers are the possibilities going forward. And you would think that's going to be the game plan. Stepped up against the top company, obviously, earlier this year, the LeCompte and the Risen Star, and was right there in that mix. And then the nice race in the Kentucky Derby. So with this win, and a win in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, you know, was taking on maybe some of the second-tier three-year-olds and was successful in both of those and again, has been successful on the bigger stage. So it just seems logical come out of this weekend and point towards. And they said, it didn't sound like totally committed, one or both or the other, but it sounded very likely Haskell and Travers moving forward, and why not? Nice win yesterday. Two Phils in the Ohio Derby with a solid 105 buyer. Also yesterday, you know, we mentioned it, you get these days at these tracks with a big race like this, and typically there's a nice little undercard of stakes, and so, you know, you got your big horse loaded on the van, let's load one or two others. And so Lady Jacqueline also had some prominent players going for $250,000. Fillies and Mares, a mile and an eighth. Interstate Daydream for Brad Cox coming off a win in the DuPont down at Pimlico on Preakness weekend was the favorite at even money. The second choice was Lotta Vida, who had run third in that DuPont. Splitting those two in the DuPont and running second was Misty Vale. But it is La Vida getting it done. Again, coming out of the third place finish last time in the DuPont, but gets it done, and gets it done fairly easily here. Chart margin's 3.25. Interstate Daydream does close to be second. 63 Caliber runs third in here. The Tommy Amos runner, who's coming off a second and another stake down at Churchill. But La Vida, a nice little winner. And, you know, again, these are kind of players in that Philly and Mayer division. Will we see them up at Saratoga? Hard to say exactly. Correas, the trainer of La Vida, I don't think is a regular up at Saratoga. Interstate Daydream, certainly being a Brad Cox trainee, there's a possibility, I would suppose, up at Saratoga. Tommy Amos with 63 Caliber perhaps as well. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, where the winner goes next. La Vida, this was career win number 8 and career start number 21, so a pretty good record for that one, certainly. It was only the 10th start of the career, only the 11th start of the career for Interstate Daydream. Came in with 10 starts and 5 wins. So as they say, I wouldn't be shocked to see her up at Saratoga. As far as the winner, we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But certainly, nice little undercard stakes race there at Thistle supporting the Ohio Derby. So a couple of nice performances. At Thistle Down yesterday, they had a couple other little stakes on the card too. Those were the two more prominent stakes races, however. Belmont yesterday, stakes race was the Wild Applause. Three-year-old fillies on the turf at a mile, and it stayed on the turf. I was handicapping my play of the day Thursday, Friday, Saturday for dirt, because if you looked at the forecast, it looked sure thing it was going to rain. That just shows you the don't trust. And so yesterday, earlier on, I tweeted out a turf play, because the dirt play I had, just there wasn't any value. And so I tweeted out a turf play, and today I stuck with the turf. And so we'll see how that works out. But with the weather cooperating, the Wild Applause was a turf stakes race yesterday. I like Breath Away, and that one disappointed. Breath Away for Christophe Clement and Dean Reeves. Hadn't missed the exacta in 4 starts, so I went in that direction. Soviet Excess I thought was going to be interesting from Todd Pletcher, and went off at 10-1, so that was an interesting play for me. Tax Implications for Chad Brown and Klarovich. I always liked that team, and Chad also had Liguria, and it winds up to be Liguria getting it done. The betting public was right. They landed on that one at 9-5. Tax Implication, the other Chad Brown runner, was 9-2. And as I say, Soviet Excess, who runs third, 10-1 for Todd Pletcher. Breath Away winds up a disappointing 5th at 2-1. But you can see here, Liguria, a nice late run, and it winds up to be a Chad exacta. Liguria over Tax Implications, and pays $27 and change for the Chad Zacta, as it were. A couple of lightly raced runners, and again, you'd have to think we'll see these two fillies up at Saratoga. But Liguria, this was only the 5th career start, the 3rd career win. She was coming out of her most disappointing effort last time, the seasonal debut. You know, it's tough with only 3 starts under the belt to come back and in your 3-year-old debut step into a grade 2. She did that down at Churchill on Derby weekend and wound up 5th. And as I say, that was her worst start. And now with that one under the belt, 2nd start of the 3-year-old season, 5th start overall, Liguria gets it done. So she's 3-for-5 now. And as I say, nice little run there on the outside. Tax Implications, though, this one was okay as well. This was the 3-year-old debut for this one. And again, it's tough to be lightly raced and come back in a nice little, you know, salty little stakes race and put a win on the board, but a pretty nice 2nd place finish to go 1 win, 2 seconds, and 3 career starts for the Chad Klarovich runner. So tax Implications with the 2nd place finish. Again, a decent effort. Soviet Excess, as I say, I thought that one was interesting. It was the stakes debut for that horse. Had had five starts already, two wins, 2 seconds. So this was only the sixth career start, and did wind up third. Now was back a ways, you know, almost three lengths back. But being lightly raced and being the stakes debut, Soviet Excess seems interesting as well. And I have to think Breath Away is better than we saw yesterday. The fifth place finish, as I say, a little bit disappointing given what we had seen so far. And I think the horse is better than that. All four that I just mentioned, I would think would be, with the connections they have, would be horses to look for up at Saratoga sooner rather than later, because it's right around the corner. A couple other stakes races worth taking a little bit of a look at from yesterday. Ellis, and I didn't, let me see if I can quickly pull it up, because they had a bunch of articles yesterday kind of previewing next weekend at Ellis, which is that Stephen Foster weekend transferred over from Churchill. And I'm just curious because they were, I couldn't tell whether they were speculating or, no, here it is. So they have drawn. So if you want to take a look, I would imagine the PPs are out as well, because on Equibase they do have the card next weekend for Ellis Park, which includes the Florida Lee, the Wise Dan, the Stephen Foster, the Teppan, the Kelly's Landing, the Ali Sheba. Nice card next Saturday at Ellis. And again, last night as I was, you know, getting some follow-up articles on the stakes and whatnot, there were some previews for next weekend, and I was just kind of briefly reading, and I couldn't quite tell whether they were speculating, here's who's probably coming, or whether these were the, it sounded like these are the entrants, and I meant to go look, and sure enough, they have drawn the card. So you can check out a week from yesterday, the big card coming up next week at Ellis Park. But Ellis yesterday, the Chicago Grade 3 event, $225,000 for the fillies and mares going 7 furlongs. And it was a nice field, a Grade 3, but you had Matarea in there, who was coming off the win in the Derby City Distaff, where Goodnight Olive had the very rough trip, but Matarea got the victory for Brad Cox and company. She came in with 6 wins and 11 starts, and Matarea did go off as the 59-cent to a dollar favorite. Society, however, Tyler Gaffleone, Steve Asmussen, looked great. Society, who hadn't had a win since the Cotillion last September, had a really nice three-year-old season, wound up running seventh, wound up last year running seventh in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. And in two starts so far this year as the four-year-old, she kind of disappointed, but got back on her game yesterday. Society's going to be the number 5 horse. Again, Tyler Gaffleone on board, and you can see just kind of floating along on the lead here all the way around. Dreyferos runs second at 16-1, and Matarea, the number 2, runs third. Kind of a nice little battle there for second and third, but again, Dreyferos holds off the favored Matarea. So a little bit disappointing, I guess, for Matarea, but not disappointing at all for Society. And I did not see a buyer for that. Let me just see if I can quickly go to some of the usual suspects and see if there are buyers listed. I had the 105 for two fills, because that was in the follow-up article. But yeah, I don't see, just looking at the usual, do not see buyers. You'd have to think it was a solid number, though, for Society, because it's a track record. And she made it look easy. Society, again, this was the 6th win in the 10th start, well over $1 million in the bank for the Steve Asmussen-trained daughter of Gunrunner. You would have to think, we'll see her up at Saratoga. She ran in the coaching club American Oaks last year, and you would have to think they'll take a pop up there. I say that, I don't know whether it's a sure thing, given the fact that she faltered in a couple of grade ones earlier this year. Maybe they'll pick their spots for her going forward, but I would have to think that it's more likely than not, maybe, that we'll see Society up at Saratoga. Another one that I thought we would take a look at, the carry back from Gulfstream Park yesterday, $75,000. But I thought it was interesting because a horse that I've kind of liked going back to earlier this year and a nice race at Tampa was Super Chow. Super Chow, George Delgado trainee, Jaramillo was on board. Super Chow, before the Chick Lang was the last race for Super Chow, and before that, Super Chow had eight starts, six wins, a second, and a third. So 6 for 8 with a second and a third before the Chick Lang. So comes up for the Chick Lang at Pimlico and runs fifth. Clearly the worst start of the career. So I was just interested to see if getting back to Florida, Super Chow was going to get back to his winning ways. It was not to be. Yesterday's carry back, it's Lightning Tones at 28-1, just holding off Cazares. And Super Chow, the number 7 horse, runs third as the even money favorite. And you can see kind of fades here out in front. You kind of feel like, oh, going to get it done, but just cannot hold off. And even here you think is going to get it done, but man, it gets a little short and gets caught at the wire. Super Chow running third. I will note that there was a string of just before the Chick Lang, there was a string of 5 races, 4 wins and a second when Chantel Sutherland was on board. So last time Paco Lopez was on board in the Chick Lang yesterday in that race, it was Jaramillo. So I will note Chantel Sutherland has been a little more successful with Super Chow, but of course she's on the sidelines. Last seen at beginning of May and on the gallop out in a race, some geese kind of spooked her horse and she fell and hurt her shoulder. And I haven't seen anything recently, but there was a Blood Horse article where she was kind of contemplating retirement. That was no sure thing by any means. I think it was depending on, the rehabilitation from the shoulder situation. But again, it seemed like Super Chow was a little bit more productive with Chantel, or a little bit more productive at 6 furlongs. That's a possibility as well, because those the 5 races that Chantel was on board, 5 races, 4 wins, and a second. The 4 wins were at 6 furlongs. The 1 second was at 7 furlongs. Yesterday's race was at 7 furlongs. So it just may be this horse has a little bit of a limitation, because again, 100 yards from the wire, you thought, hey, he's got this. But it was not to be for Super Chow. Disappoints a little bit again. So we'll see where they go next. But certainly you would think they would look more for the 3/4 of a mile and see how that works out for them. All right. Do want to hit on just quickly Royal Ascot. Again, we were showing that all week on the network. Hopefully you tuned in and enjoyed some Royal Ascot, because it was very good racing. It was a lot of fun, certainly. But as the meet ended, Ryan Moore winds up to be the leading jockey over Frankie Dettori, who one of the articles I read was interesting. I mean, this is Frankie Dettori has been on kind of the retirement tour. He was out in California this winter. He's been picking some spots over here, but he had a really nice Royal Ascot. And one of the articles I read kind of speculated, will he really call it a career after this year? Because he's having a pretty good year. But they were completely speculating, because he has said this is it. But Brian Moore winds up to be the leading jock at the Royal Ascot meet. And Aiden O'Brien, the leading trainer at the Royal Ascot meet for the 12th time. Just incredible there. And Coolmore, the leading owner at the meet. But again, Ryan Moore and Aiden O'Brien, leading jockey, leading trainer. But getting back to Frankie Dettori, again, he had a very nice Royal Ascot himself, and he won a couple on Friday that added up to his 80th and 81st victories overall at Royal Ascot throughout his career. So it was, again, a nice 2023 Royal Ascot, potentially the last. That is what we know at this point. But again, overall, he's been very productive at really one of the highest quality meets in the world. He's quoted 100%. I wanted to get to the 80 winners. I thought I've got to get three more, but it's easier said than done. Now I've done it. Yes, it is a big number. Congratulations again to Frankie Dettori. And we'll see, as they say, there was the speculation. And that was the first time I had seen anything like that. But he has had a pretty good year, certainly. But I always think, go out on the high note. Once you've made the commitment, it's probably tough to do. I mean, especially if you're going well and, you know, you've been at that level of competition to think, you know, what am I going to do now, as opposed to I'm going pretty well. But better to go out on a high note than a low note. So, but we'll see. We'll keep our eyes on. Hopefully we get an appearance or two or three or whatever over here at Saratoga for Frankie Dettori. He's ridden there in the past, and it's always fun to see Frankie. Get him in the winner's circle for the flying dismount and the whole thing. And so we'll keep our fingers crossed that we get an appearance or two or three of Frankie Dettori up at Saratoga during the farewell tour, as it were. All right, we'll take a break. Again, a little bit later on, Tony Kahlo will join us, and we'll take a look at tomorrow's action at the Finger Lakes, including that nice stakes race. But first, we'll take a break and then come back, do a little handicapping for this afternoon, toss out some ideas for Sunday racing. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. As promised before the break, we'll take a little look at action this afternoon. We'll take a look at Belmont Park, go through the late pick five, toss out some ideas. I don't have a specific ticket, but we will take a look at the action. And I was just quickly checking while we were in the break. I don't see anything regarding surface. But looking at the weather last night it looked okay down in Elmont. Knock wood. We'll hope the weather folks are correct as far as Saturday. So I expect the surfaces to stay the same for this Saturday. The late pick five at Belmont starts with race number five. Plain Vanilla, $32,000 claimer, mile and a 16th the trip. I'm going to go 8, 4, 2, and 5. I'll stick Last Chance at Glory on top. It's a Linda Rice runner off the claim. But maybe more importantly, it is a reclaim. Always like to see that. Two starts back, Linda Rice had the horse. She had claimed the horse. She and her connection had claimed the horse just before that. So she had the horse for one start. It was a second place finish, claimed away from her. And then they dipped in and claimed back And again, you have to like that. Claim for 40, come back for 32. You know, you don't like to see a horse claimed and drop, but this is the kind of drop that, you know, you're half a step down. I don't think it's anything to be concerned about. So Last Chance of Glory on top. Second slot, Glory Road. Nice win last time at 25,000, but like the top pick claimed last time, moves into the barn of Rudy Rodriguez, but out of the barn of Linda Rice. So we'll see what Rudy can do. You know, Linda's been going so well and won with this one last time at 25. Now they bump up to 32. But you go down the page and this horse has been racing in and around this company. So I don't think the move is going to be a real obstacle. Cupid's Claws in the third slot. Mark Cassie trainee, last seen the end of March at Gulfstream. And down the page has been running against better. So a little bit of a break of a couple of months, comes to New York and gets the drop. I'm a little suspicious on this one, but the talent is there. We'll see. The workouts don't seem to be giving any indication. Early this month, beginning of the month, tossed in a little bullet workout. So that may be a good indication, and then just some maintenance since. We'll see. But again, on the drop, I was a little bit. You know, last seen at 50, most of the races on the page are better. There are stakes races underneath. So, again, the drop for me here, a little bit of a concern, albeit it is an 8-year-old. So in the fifth race at Belmont this afternoon, 8-4, 2-5. Sixth race at Belmont, we're looking at State Bred Maiden Specials going 6 on the grass. I have a 3-1, 4-5. Number 3 is Forward Move, George Weaver trainee. Paid a decent amount of money for this horse. Keeneland 2021, just under $250,000. It's Mike Rapoli and company. George Weaver, of course, going very well, including the Royal Ascot win earlier this week. And congratulations again to that team. But the workouts are okay by Army Mule, who doing well with first-time starters. I thought this horse very playable in the career debut. Flip side of the coin, experience counts. And Shazando has plenty of experience. 16 starts, no wins yet, but 3-1 on the morning line off the latest effort. And going to certainly be rooting for this one because it's owned by DT Stables. That's the nom de plume of our a friend and colleague, Steve Bick, Gary Siaka training. And again, last time with Castellano on board, I said to Steve, I thought the horse had it. It just had some nice momentum in the stretch and just came up short, frustrating there. But off of that effort, Shazando, intriguing this afternoon. And again, certainly rooting for that one. And Laurel Valley for Mike Maker. Off a nice second-place finish last time off of an early-season debut. It was the turf start of the career. It was a much-improved performance, and I think both of those things. A little bit of a layoff. Lately raced horse comes back with an improved performance, I think just signifying an improved three-year-old now, and they maybe have found the right surface. So in the sixth at Belmont, I have it 3-1, 4-5. Over at Belmont in the seventh race, another owner we're going to be rooting for. I did not use Dream Central, but Dream Central goes out for Eddie Epps. I always like to root for the local ownership connections, and I don't have a real knock on Eddie Epps. We'll see. Maybe Gary Siaka can go back-to-back with the Bick horse and the Eddie Epps horse in races 6 and 7. Like I say, I don't have any real knock against. There were others that were a little more attractive to me. In the seventh race, I went 8-3, 7-6. I'm going to put Moonage Daydream on top. Fourth start of the season. Tossed in a pretty good number in the seasonal debut down at Gulfstream, but it was a sixth-place finish. But it was a grade three stakes race. Tough little spot to kick things off. Came back and put in two starts in similar non-winners to two other than. And last time showed kind of an improved effort. Off of that, I think the horse is primed for a good try this afternoon. Moonage Daydream's on top. Nuginia in the second spot. This will be the third start back this season. First two starts were pretty good. The seasonal debut, waited for the turf season to return to New York, and they jumped in early and got a win in a non-winners of one, then went in this non-winners of two optional company last time and ran a decent third. sometimes you move that next condition. It'll take a start or two to figure it out. A third place finish, I think, got this one some good experience at the level, and we should expect another good try this afternoon. Silken Dollar, 10-1 on the morning line for Dave Donk, and another one that's making the third start back this season. First start of the year, okay, fourth, a number that matches up with this bunch. Then seemed to go backwards a little bit last time. I'm hoping in the third start back, we either get back to that effort in the first start of the season, or better yet, move forward a little bit. And again, third start of the year, that is not out of the question with the fitness situation you build up there. So Silken Dollar, again, 10-1 on the morning line. Manny Franco on board. I think that one is very interesting and playable in here, perhaps at some value given the morning line. So I have it in the seventh race, 8, 3, 7, and 6. Eighth race this afternoon at Belmont is stakes action. It is the Dancing Renee, $125,000 up for grabs. State bred fillies and mares going 3/4 of a mile. And in the Dancing Renee, I'm 6, 7, 5, and 2. Betsy Blue on top for Linda Rice. Boy, hard to knock. These are the kind you love to own. Just nice little state bred that just does it pretty much every time. 23 starts, 10 wins, 8 seconds, 2 thirds. So has run first, second, or third. 20 of the 23 has hit the exact 20 of the 22 has hit the exact 18 of the 22. Almost $700,000 in the bank. Hasn't been seen since February, but it was a good second place finish in a little state bred stakes race. Also spent the winter trying open company at Aqueduct and had a couple of stakes wins against open company. Again, has to overcome the layup, but comes in it with a bullet workout. I'll go with Betsy Blue on top. Can't Hurry Love. The last race was a little bit disappointing, and I always like to say don't judge just on one race, good or bad. And the last one, a little bit of an aberration. I mean, it was a third place finish, but the number went backwards a little bit, and it was a fairly well-beaten third, almost 6 lengths. But the three races before that were good enough. And I'm going to look at that last one as maybe a little bit of an aberration and hope we bounce back to what is seems to be, as far as at least races this year, a little more normal for this horse number-wise, and that will put Can't Hurry Love right in the mix. And then Granny's Connection in the third spot. Tom Morley seems to have heated up over the last few days. We'll see if that can continue. This is a nice little New York bred. Last time went over to Monmouth, tried open company, and won very easily. This is the stakes debut for Granny's Connection. But with 5 starts, 4 wins, and a second, again, nice little New York bred, and it's time to step up and take the shot in and against this company. Rosa Veloce is, I believe, the 2-1 and 2-1. Yeah, the morning line favorite. I put that one down in the 4 spot. I don't have any big argument against. A best effort probably makes Rosa Veloce the one to beat, but doesn't necessarily consistently, particularly if you look at the last 2 starts, toss those best numbers. So I have the horse in the mix. If somebody's tilting in that direction, I'm not going to have a big argument against, but I thought others were a little more interesting and playable in here. The eighth race at Belmont, the Dancing Renee, 6, 7, 5, and 2. And we wrap things up here in the ninth, and the ninth race is actually going to be my capital OTB bet play of the day. And again, today I finally went with a turf race, which I'm going to tilt towards most of the time, or much of the time anyway, because you get the field size, and you get, because of the field size, you get some decent odds. You can see there an exacta and a tri box with mine. And I put them in chronological order or numerical order. But I have this race 9, 6, 1, and 3. And again, I'll use all 4 of those in the boxes. Linda Rice, trained and owned Legendary Lore, 4-1 on the morning line. Claimed by Linda Rice 2 starts back off a nice second place finish at 16,000, and then bounced up to this 50 level last time and ran a good third. I think the horse is very live in here today. I think the 4-1 is generous and will help the play, certainly. Watasha in the second spot at 8-1. It's a Mike Maker trainee off the claim. He's very good off the claim, also moves up. But if you look down the page, this horse has been facing Allowance Company for most of the career, Allowance Made Special. Dropped in for the tag last time. I think it's going to turn out to be a clever claim. Just kind of never got in the hunt last time. I think the horse is better than that. I'll look for this one to be live in here off the claim. Again, if the morning line holds up at a generous price for the play. Moritaius? I'm trying to come up with if I'm familiar. We will see what John Embriel does with that one. Because I'm thinking I... That's not the correct pronunciation, but we'll see how it works out. Tom Morley, trainee, Javier Castellano on board. A couple of turf starts most recently, you know, in and around this level, and they were both okay. So I certainly think if you're doing those boxes, I think it's one you have to have in the mix. This one is the morning line, 5-2, the morning line favorite. I'm not sure I'm buying into that. We'll see how it shakes out by post time. But I definitely think I would agree. It's 5-2 to be in the mix, certainly. And then Board Gambler going out for our friend Roddy Valente in the barn of Mike Maker. Been facing most recently Starter Allowance Company, a decent little third. Two starts back was in a conditional claimer against a little bit lesser priced horses, but ran a good second. But off of those two, I think very playable. And Manny Franco hops on board this afternoon, Born Gambler. So again, wrapping up the thoughts today, the ninth race at Belmont. I have it 9-6, 1-3. And as you see, it is the Capital OTB Bet play of the day for this Sunday afternoon. We'll box those four up in an exact and a try, and hope the morning line holds up, because I think if the morning line holds up, there will definitely be enough value to play around in that fashion. So we'll see how it all works out. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, as promised earlier, we'll be joined by Tony Kahlo. Nice little stakes action tomorrow at Finger Lakes with the Ontario County, and we'll get some thoughts on some other races as well from Tony right after this. So stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances, and live streaming. Wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes for a little weekly Monday preview, and tomorrow some stakes action as well. Looking forward to that. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Seth. How's it going, buddy?
Very good. And we were talking during the break. I'll get your opinion. I showed the replay earlier, two fills. I think people were kind of like, What? How that big Kentucky Derby effort? Larry Ravelli heads to the Ohio Derby, but he may be crazy like a fox, because coming out of that, he's looking now at, you know, speculating Haskell and Travers where he'll meet the big boys. But with the 105 buyer yesterday, two fills and geared down under the wire, he looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, he looked awesome. I couldn't believe the size of his engine. He's a big boy, this two fills. And, you know, I guess when they're giving away $500,000, you can't really scoff at the Ohio Derby anymore. And, it's a great spacing of races from the Derby. Now he's going to win this race yesterday, the Half Skull, the Traverse. I don't know about you, Seth, but I'm pretty excited about what the summer's going to have for our three-year-olds.
Yeah, and I've been saying for the first 6 months of the year, they're kind of undefined. And just when you land on one, you think, oh, here's the horse that's kind of floating to the top of the class. The next race, they're beaten by some other new prospect. But that is making for a what is shaping up to be a very good summer. Jim Dandy, Haskell Travers, Pennsylvania Derby, and then we'll get to see how they match up perhaps later this year with some older horses. But I think you're exactly right. On the three-year-old scene, it's kind of become a very exciting summer now.
It really is. You know, we get two fills winning yesterday. We have the Kentucky Derby winner who's, you know, vacationing after the Preakness. We still have Forte, who, yeah, in my opinion, ran a tremendous Belmont after that long of a layoff. Archangelo developing. Arabian Lions coming into his own. There's a horse in California that's pretty nice. Go Rocket Ride. There's some nice horses. And, you know, Angel of Empire, I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I'm a Disarmed. Disarmed won very nicely, beating Verifying at Ellis. We've got a good little crop developing, no question about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun summer. Absolutely looking forward to it. And looking forward to a little Finger Lakes action tomorrow because we have the nice stakes race. We'll touch on that in a few. But in the meantime, let's jump in. Race number four tomorrow, maiden specials going 1.70 miles. Scheduled is a field of 7. What did you see in the fourth?
Well, I'm not going to get pretty wise guy here with you. I really liked what I saw from the Honorable Eyes debut run on Memorial Day. Tumbles was an odds-on favorite and had some foundation and had really been ready to run a big one for that day. So the Honorable Eyes, I really liked her stride in the lane. And I went and did some research this morning because I see the damn Ainsley and I see Officer Blood and, you know, Officer, I primarily thought of as a sprinter, but it's amazing how many of his offspring really relish added real estate. And Ainsley, she was pretty talented, Seth. She ran 27 times, won 7 races, 2 seconds, 5 thirds, made just under $170,000. And she won going up to 1.16 miles. And the way this filly had a nice stride in the final quarter of a mile, I think she's the one to beat, no question about it, stretching out and 2-1 on the morning line. I'll make her my top pick. I have been chasing the two baby dreams, and she just keeps disappointing me. And I wanted to go look up her dam, and her dam was unraced. But here's a pretty cool thing about horse racing is you never know where you're going to lead to when you start doing the pedigree research. Her dam was a mare named Arrested Dreams, who ran 12 times, 8 wins, 1 second and 2 thirds, and made $320,000. Now, the interesting part is, I know this isn't going to mean a lot to a lot of people here in New York, but it really brought back a lot of sentimental thoughts with me. Her dam, Arrested Dreams, was Moment to Buy. Moment to Buy was a horse that raced in Northern California when I was very young, you know, in my teenage years. And she started out her career 7-for-7. And a Southern California horse came in and beat her to snap the streak. But he ended up winning the 1984 Hollywood Oaks, and she defeated the Kentucky Oaks winner, Lucky Lucky Lucky, from Dwayne Lucas. There was another talented mare in there named Mitterrand. You know, Lucky 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 went on to win the Black Eyed Susan, ran 3rd in the test, 2nd in the Alabama. And this is like pre-simulcast era. And for our local gal, Moment to Buy, to go to Hollywood Park and defeat the Kentucky Oaks champion, I had never been happier. I remember the stretch call like it's no tomorrow. Lucky, lucky, lucky. Here's Moment to Buy. Moment to Buy. Lucky, lucky. Meter on with a big charge. Moment to Buy just in front. And that's how it went down. It was pretty awesome. So it's pretty cool when you get into the Equibase app and you can start really getting into the pedigree. But I endorse the honorable eye, but a little sentimental rooting here for Baby Dreams with their moment to buy blood.
Yeah, and when you really look at the field, the breeding is kind of intriguing. Cloud Computing on top for Out of the Cloud, and I love Cairo Prince runners to be win early. So Grandma T, and I always say if they don't get it done, if you have a little win early breeding, they don't get it done in the first one, two, three starts, four starts even, and then they switch things up. And Grandma T is switching things up in that we're going two turns today. So that's a kind of an interesting angle for the Cairo Prince runner. But I will say, as you were talking, it reminded, and I'm going to show my age now, but it reminded me years ago when I was first getting into the game, I was watching, and here's where I will convey my age. I was watching the Johnny Carson show, and Dick Van Patten was on, who was a big horse racing fan. The old show, what, Eight is Enough, I think, and Dick Van Patten, and he was on talking about horse racing, and he said, you know, it's kind of fun. I got into the game, and I would watch these horses, and he said, now it's fun. I go to the track, and I look at the top of the page in the breeding, and it's like, I remember the Grand Dam of this horse, and I remember this, and so you can follow the family. And it, I related to that story as you were talking, and as you mentioned, now it's just so much easier. Back in those days, he's looking at the form and just looking at the top line, but now we can go back and really kind of relive those moments, as you say, at Equibase, or go pull up the old races on YouTube as well.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because I remember in my early publicity years in Northern California, I started in the publicity department in 1995, and we had a beat writer for the DRF, the big O, Dale Omnison, and you know how we used to do our research was we had about like 20 years worth of form in the main office. And you'd get one form out, and you'd get ten running lines, and then you'd have to go find that date, and that's how we used to do it. Now we got it at the right at the tips of our fingers, and these kids, they don't know what they've got these days, Seth. We it's like when you were in college and you're doing a research paper, and you had to go through the index cards, and then you'd find a book, and then you'd go find another book. Now you just Google. It's like, come on, man.
That's hilarious that you meant, because I've thought of that a million times. You know, I look at my grand nephews and nieces and whatnot and the phone. And yeah, you have a question now on anything. You pull out your phone and you Google it. Back in the day, you'd have a question and you have to think, I got to find a chance this week to get to the local library to actually look up the answer. It is. But on the horse racing side of things, it has definitely made things much easier. And I assure you, you have reminded a bunch of people in my generation of the days, because there was the time where we all had that pile of racing forms or cut out the charts and had a notebook and whatnot. Yeah, it is definitely a different world and a much better world.
I'll tell you who really liked this was the laundromat, because you think about all of our white collar dress shirts and then going through 20-year-old forms, the amount of black ink left on the fingerprints going to the white shirt. Now my laundry bill must have been astronomical back in those days, Seth.
That's a great one too, because I absolutely remember that. The old broadsheet racing form, and you'd be up in Saratoga carrying around all day, and yeah, at the end of the day, you look at your shirt and it's got all print, all ink, all over. That's very good, very good. All right, let's get back to racing. I mentioned it earlier. I'm looking forward to this. The Ontario County tomorrow, the eighth race, $50,000 up for grabs for New York bred 3-year-olds. Looms Boldly is in here for Brad Cox and attracting some big names. Brad Cox, Irod Ortiz slated to ride, Manny Franco on Acoustic Avenue for Christophe Clement. But Looms Boldly, of course, owned by 10-strike Marshall Graham and named for the Twitter handle of Pete Fornatale from the In the Money Media broadcast, of course. And I pulled up a replay. I'm going back to the notebook last November. This is going to be the number 3 Acoustic Avenue. That's the question mark on this one. Super talented 2-year-old last year, but this was the last start for Acoustic Avenue. So salty spot to make your 3-year-old debut. But boy, just really a fabulous 2-year-old season for Acoustic Avenue. This puts the exclamation point on 4 wins and 5 starts. But that one in Looms Boldly, boy, this is a fun race tomorrow. How'd you see it?
Yeah, it's going to be a great race, and not to be the school teacher or nothing, Seth, but it's Acoustic Ave. I
Oh, okay.
I reached out to Patty Reeve, the wife of Dan Reeves, for on Twitter, and she did let me know it is acoustic ass. And that's what he was called at Saratoga last year by John Imbrial, and
which is proper. Yeah,
sure, and she has confirmed that. So
very good.
You know, this is a great race, Seth, for our three-year-olds. Like you said, acoustic ass hasn't been seen since he was a two-year-old, and both of his races were incredible. He didn't beat anything up, and no disrespect to the horses behind him and the aspirant, but he really showed what he was all about in our New York Breeders' Futurity. That was one of our better races I've seen in all of my years here. Andiamo a Firenze really tested him. The filly Stonewall Star, she ran her heart out that day, and as you can tell by the italics, she came back to win. Acoustic Ave parlays it into the notebook. You know, here's the big question mark tomorrow with our Ontario County. It looks like there's an abundant amount of pace. You know, Brad always likes to have his horses forwardly positioned. You draw the rail with IRAD, with Looms Boldly. You have to think this horse is going to be somewhat forwardly positioned. Dictating, battling. I mean, it's going to be hard to relinquish the rail and try to sit a length or two off and come and get him. You know, Leo and Royal has cheap speed. But then you get here's the wise guy horse in the race. He's wise guy because he's a flat out nothing but a freewheeler. I mean, here's a horse who's going 21-1 in a 5-furlong Tampa race. So you've got Looms Boldly. Maybe Leo and Royal tries to go. Acoustic Ab's going to be fresh for his 3-year-old bid. He's probably going to. I see nothing but abundant amount of pace, and it's going to lead me to a little bit of a price horse, the 3 Dr. Kraft. I really like the spacing for Dr. Kraft's race today. You know, if you look at the 31st of March to the 22nd of April, it's coming back pretty quick. I mean, we're talking upper level allowance horses, stakes horses. You know, I think 3 weeks is quick. Then he comes back another 3 weeks quick. Now we get almost 5+ weeks off. The horse has foundation, been running in longer races, is 1-for-1 on a wet track. We're supposed to get a little rain tomorrow. Why can't Dr. Kraft just come and rock them all with that girl, Jackie Davis? I see a pace meltdown, and I'm going to try to bring in this horse in an upset for
it. I like it. As you're talking, I'm looking and I'm thinking, there is a lot of pace in here, no question about it. And Dr. Kraft, a mile on the turf last time, and you draw a line through that, and the races are all decent numbers, and that number on the turf last time kind of darkens the form a little bit. 4-1 on the morning line, but certainly Acoustic Ave and Looms Boldly are going to take a lot of action. I wouldn't be surprised if you got a little more value on Dr. Kraft. I'm going to be interested to see how the odds shake out. I like it. Interesting idea there.
I like the spacing. You know, when it comes to allowance and stakes horses, I like spacing. I like a month to 6 weeks. Some works in between, you know, like you said, put the pen through the line on the mile race, and the gander's good. The race before that's good on a sealed muddy racetrack. Why not? You know what? I'm always giving you guys chalk. That's why I try to entertain her, Seth. You know, and I'm giving you 3 to 5 shots all the time. Your fans are like, Seth, get rid of this guy. But you know what? At least I can tell a story from time to time. So.
And we appreciate it, believe me, because it's always very entertaining. And so let's see if we can maybe put together a late double. That would be a nice way to start out a late double. So the 9th race tomorrow, we're bottom level conditional claimers going 3/4 of a mile. Field of 9 is entered in here. So yeah, there is the potential for a little score in the late double. What do you see in the 9th?
Well, you know, a lot of the money is going to go on the bottom horse, the bottom filly. It's a Rapoli stable. Jeremiah Andre Worry. She's coming off a powerful maiden victory against perennial maidens. Sweet Tooth Sue's been a maiden for a long time. Midnight Mindset just can't seem to break on through. Why not a little namesake play for you guys out there at the Capital OTB? Albany Yates. You know, this horse had a really, really wide post last time. As she came a running into a 23 and a 47-2, maybe we get a little more pace. Betty Boom wants to go. Bad Connection. Maybe Kaber Koa, who's riding tremendously this season, and I'm really happy for Kaber. He's a great kid and showing his stuff, 22%. I think he's third in our standings right now. This one's kind of been tipping its mid in its last couple starts. 7-2, you know what? We're leading up to a decent little late double, in my opinion.
All right. I like it. Tony, as always, appreciate the visit and the thoughts and the walk, to walk down memory lane. I hadn't thought it. You are absolutely right, though. With the you've got the nice shirt on for the track, and all day long you got the broadsheet under your, under your arm, and at the end of the day you look and there's that big black smudge. And I am sure there are many people in the audience who are completely relating to that because, yeah, it was something you dealt with back in the day.
Yeah, and you know what, Seth, to be honest, I miss them very much. Those were the good old days, no question about it. But we can't rewind the clock. We just have to enjoy our thoughts, and you know what, that's why we love thoroughbred racing. It truly is a great game. Once it's in the blood, it doesn't leave. There's no question about that.
Tony, again, appreciate the conversation. Have a great day. Good luck tomorrow. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, Seth. Thanks again for having me.
Very good. Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes. Again, nice day tomorrow with that Ontario County. Looms boldly and Acoustic Ave. And Tony with a little bit of... But I like that. Dr. Kraft, interesting. I'll play a little bit there. All right, we will wrap it for this Sunday morning. It's been a fun Sunday. Walk down memory lane. Yeah, and as I say, if you're too young to remember... Just find somebody of my ilk, and they will remind. There's a whole litany of things like that. I remember, Saratoga. You waited for the advanced edition of the racing form, which meant you were able to get the past performances a day before. And now people are outraged. If a track doesn't pull their entries a week before. What are we waiting for? Back in the day, you were thrilled that you got the advanced edition of the racing form and got the entries just the day before. But yeah, a lot of memories like that. That, as I say, the internet has changed the game for the better, for the most part. But you can watch replays now and pull up the past performances many days out and print them up at home. You don't have to go down to the local newsstand. And hope that they're not sold out. And yeah, so it's a different game, but in many ways, much more fun and a lot easier. As I say, not all of the changes have been positive, but many, many have. And it's kind of fun to remember back to the day. All right, we will wrap it up. But as usual, we'll be back in about an hour or so, an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. I'm going to take a look at... a little Belmont, a little Monmouth, Saratoga Harness on a Sunday afternoon. So we'll toss Selke action into the mix as well. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you are too. And again, we are on the march to Saratoga as I, float around town over the past week or so. The questions are getting more. You ready? You ready? You ready? And I always say, I'm perfectly happy having a little summer beforehand, but it's coming. It's a freight train coming, and we will have a little preseason action here on the network. I believe the Sunday before the meet starts, and then the day before the meet starts, just kind of air out the equipment and whatnot, so you can look forward to that. Live from the Saratoga backstretch with the horses working out behind us, always a lot of fun, and looking forward to being up there. Certainly, hopefully you're looking forward to the programming, which I know just from walking around the track, I always appreciate the feedback. As I walk around the track, people walk up to me and give the thumbs up and enjoy it. And OTB, I've said this before many times, just the other day. I was watching the network before I was here, and I was a big fan. Mark and Mike, Nick and Tom, live from the Saratoga backstretch with some of the more prominent people in the racing industry. And it's been a fun resource for years and years and years, and we're happy to continue it again this summer. But as I've also been saying for the last couple of weeks, still a lot of great racing to come before we get to Saratoga. And some of that will happen this afternoon. So we will be back on, and hopefully you'll tune back in about an hour and a half or so. But I'm going to wrap it up for Sunday morning. Seth Merrill, Racing Across America. Again, always appreciate your tuning in, and hopefully we gave you some good info. Otherwise, again, back in about an hour and a half, OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.